KOTR. Mobile.
Good afternoon, Tom. KO4HGX.
Hey, Patrick. Sorry I missed you yesterday, but had a lot of fun with the grandson. We went to Cabela's and Costco's and just goofed around and looked for him a little bit of a graduation present. Luckily, I got off easy.
You had fun and enjoyed your time with your grandson. That's way more important than me stopping by, let's put it that way.
Wouldn't want to go, and I didn't see any reason why you couldn't stop by, and I'm glad you got your eggs, and Bernice enjoyed visiting with you there. And, we're headed over to Spartanburg to go to Sam's and get some mass consumables, and I'm going to stop up here at the grocery store, at the dollar store, which isn't very far, and look for a get-well card. My old buddy up in Kansas just had his left leg amputated and not doing too good.
Hear that about your buddy? It's got to be rough. I'm dreading looking forward to a knee replacement. Can't imagine an amputation.
They already had two or three toes amputated over the years, and he's a little bit older than I am, I think, isn't he, Bernice? A year or two. And he got out of the car in the driveway, and for older folks, a fall is bad, and he broke his leg in a couple of places, compound fracture. No, he broke his leg. And now that they amputated it and he lived through it, the wound isn't healing. I'll tell you a crazy one. They got a law. What are we looking at here? They closed this road. I just wondered why. Anyways, they got a crazy law. You can't put at these rehabilitation centers or rest homes. And what was the other one, Bernice? You can't put alarms on the bed. So he's got that delirium somewhat. And so he climbs out of the bed at night and he thinks his leg's there and he just falls flat of his face. And so the leg's not healing well now.
How long that is, that's not very smart, especially in that situation. I can see maybe general, but there's got to be the exception to that.
He's hurt himself. He fell out of bed a couple of different times, and now I guess the blood's coagulating in the wound or something and won't heal, and he's in a bad spot, as his wife told me the other night when I talked to her. But anyways, we're going to run in, get him a get-well card. Maybe I'll catch you on the way over if you think anything you want to jaw about. And it's great hearing you today, Patrick. Sorry I missed you. KO4HKX and 0TR73.
Patrick, KM4NAP.
How you doing, Ed?
KO4HKX here. We doing. Nothing fancy, but we are making it day at a time. How about you?
Just getting ready for my knee replacement here. Got a couple days and got some odds and ends I need to try to get done.
Understand that. Well, keep me posted on it. If you need anything, let me know.
Appreciate that. And how you been doing?
Well, I've had a couple of episodes, but the worst thing was my sister passed away, and we had to deal with all that. And it's been a little rough.
Your
walking sister there. She was 84 years old, and she'd been in and out of the hospital for the last 3 years, so I'm just glad that she's not hurting anymore. That makes it a little bit easier.
It does make it a little easier, but it still hurts. myself is that I've lost my mom and my stepdad and my grandmother over the last couple of years. Now that they're not suffering anymore makes me feel a little better, but I still miss them.
Well, I know you got to get things done, get ready for that operation, but I just want to come in and holler at you and tell you to keep me posted on that on that knee replacement, and wish you good luck with it, and hope to catch you in the morning. I'm going to try and get up and catch you guys in the morning, so 7-3.
Kind of lazy myself. I hadn't been on last week or this week so far. I don't know. I can't get my schedule synced up here. It's messing me up where I don't set an alarm clock. I don't have any need to get up at that time. And I don't know. It's just been messing me up.
Understand that. It would mess me up.
To the guys in the morning and I'm not there, please tell them I said hello, and I'll catch them up sometime or another. I'll get my sleeping day cycle all squared away here. It's just been hit or miss lately.
I'm glad to pass it on to them. So 7-3s, and I'll catch you later, KM4 and AP. I'm going to be on the set.
Y'all take care and be careful out there, KM4HK.
KM4, Papa Charlie Delta.
For Papa Charlie Delta, I believe it was. You're real light. You picked up just a little bit.
Yeah, I got a little handheld here, just scooping around. Is this Patrick?
I believe this is Phil, is it not? Didn't come through. For HK, standing by.
That's 4 ZLK.
I think that was Phil, but I'm not 100% sure.
I had the radio down. What are you doing different on your radio? You sound different.
Now, I am trying out a Bluetooth microphone back to my HD, and then it goes back to my crossband. Just kind of trying it out to see how it works.
But the signal's good, but the audio sounds like you're sitting across the room from the microphone.
I appreciate that. I'll have to go in and make some adjustments.
Tom talk, and then I turned it down a little bit, but I was going to comment. Sounds like you're sitting on the other side of the room from your radio.
Be a little better.
It's like you took 3 or 4 steps forward.
I was turning the microphone off, and it muted the radio.
Smart Alec comment said it sounded like you took 3 or 4 steps forward.
You are Smart Alec, that's why. Hi, Shane, N0TR. I just wanted to tell you, Patrick, the same thing happened when we got out of the car a while ago. Your signal went down to about a 5-1. It really got bad. You can go ahead, Patrick.
Seems I have to go in and turn the mic gain up on it. That shouldn't be no big deal. Just something to come in the other day and giving it a try.
Shane.
It was regular microphone. And that's, I hope you don't think I'm being critical. I'm just trying to help you out because it's hard for us to hear our own selves on the radio. Because if Tom had heard himself, he probably wouldn't talk very much.
That's one. Well, I hope you're having a good day, too, Shane. We're just heading to Spartanburg for the heck of it. I'm going to go over there to Sam's and maybe the Costco's, and then I'm going to treat the wife to the Golden Corral, you know, one of those high-end restaurants.
What about you, Tom? And, Shane, that was a good one. I got a good chuckle out of that.
Every once in a while. It's a little easier when it comes to picking on Tom, because he's a good sport about it. All right, I'm going to jump out. I'm jumping or stopping this trailer place and see if they will fix some lights on my trailer. We wire for the patients right now. And anyway, I'll, good to hear both of you. And Tom, you and Bernice, enjoy your day and enjoy Golden Corral. Patrick, I'll talk to you later. And 4ZLK.
Hi, Shane.
There she is. Yeah, you don't need to worry about me remembering those ornery remarks, because at my age, I forget them. Anyways, have a good day, Shane. Go ahead, Patrick.
Up here.
N0TR Mobile.
CLX Mobile.
Out here by the Greer Golf Course. How you doing?
Headed home for the afternoon from East Spartanburg, so I got a ways to drive.
We'll probably pass if you're on 29. We're out here on Gap Creek Road by the Greer Golf Course, but we'll be turning to the east towards Spartanburg.
Yeah, I'm on 85, the NASCAR Raceway. Then I'll be home.
What's in? Because I don't go anywhere near that at my age. I stay away from 85 as much as possible. But occasionally I have to go to Anderson to the podiatrist, and we don't have any choice there, I guess. So we always go 85. Boy, I've seen some crazy drivers on there, I'll tell you. They don't ever seem to change.
The number of people on the highway nowadays is increasing with all the people moving in, and so they might have the same percentage of crazies, but it's more of them.
Especially the ones from the northeast that drives like there ain't no tomorrow. I'm guessing there. I shouldn't even point the finger at anybody in particular, but that's where most of them moved in from. They're California. I remember in California when I was in the Navy, Bernice and I'd be going Highway 101, and those highway patrolmen would actually drive between the lanes, between the cars. And it was acceptable. And you better not hit one either.
Motorcycles, yeah. Down in the L.A. area, they split the lanes. Well, now the motorcycles, all motorcycles do it over there. So you really need to look in your mirror carefully before you switch lanes.
Suicide. It's suicide to drive a motorcycle around here anyways, just about. They kill at least one a week, usually, in the good weather. There was one killed, I guess, yesterday, halfway up to Landrum from our house. That's a big open highway there. The only thing I can think of is somebody pulled out in front of him from a side street, you know, onto the highway. But they just get killed over and over and over. And people just don't see them, and they got lights that are locked on them, but they still kill them like flies around here, or mopeds, or bicycles. It's a dangerous way to live, and I love motorcycles, but not down here, and I'm too old anyways.
Can't catch me on a motorcycle. Heck, I don't even fly airplanes anymore, so why the heck would I do that?
Yeah. Well, I love to fly, but I'm not too fond of 150s and 172s and stuff like that. I mean, I'll go in them, but they just seem like the wind has got you more than you got the wind.
Yeah, there's a lot to say about that. You got to watch your crosswinds. Yeah, that's what I got my pilot's license on a 172. But it's just too dang expensive. Especially controlled airports around here, you'll spend $100 before you even get off the ground.
You have to have a lot of different things. I'm watching the traffic here for a minute. The 172 is rated as the safest airplane there is to fly in, especially to learn in. And I believe it. It's a very forgiving aircraft. But it's a rich man's hobby. I mean, I was was looking at ADSB add-ons the other day, and just a cheap one if you already got your Garmin and all of that, you know, iPad or whatever they call it, is $800, but I think a good one is much, much more than that, and it's a requirement in any IFR aircraft now.
I never did go on to get my IFR because I started looking at the cost of all this stuff. I said, man, I can't afford it, you know, and I'm not going to spend money on something that I have a high chance of dying and doing.
You know, too, Mike, this is NZTR, the weather down here, it's kind of like Alaska. Kansas was that way, too. It can change in a minute. I went up in a Sirius a few years ago down here. It was really nice and smooth and rode better than a 150, put it that way. And as we were coming back in, he had to do some didos there because the crosswinds got us, and he was ruddering and yoking and the whole nine yards just prior to putting it down. And I'm not scared of it. You know, when I was in the Navy, I was in a flight crew, and I could just stick my head out and look through the front window of the cockpit and watch the carrier landings. And, or I could, when I went to a bigger plane, I could walk up and watch the landing if I asked permission from the officers. But, I don't know, the 150s and the 172s and in that size aircraft, general aviation has a far greater accident rate than commercial aviation, light years more.
N6CLX Friday. Yeah. One another reason why I gave it up. I achieved it. Checked that box and then moved up here from the coast. Down on the coast, fun to fly, but up here it's just I don't know. I was getting a check ride out of Donaldson Center. I mean, everything was going fine. It was an overcast day. A little rain was predicted. Thunderstorm. It was overcast. As I'm pulling out with the instructor doing the check ride, the controller says continue out straight on the heading, and we got our, we got our, instruments back, so he's reading our altitude. Hang on, I'll let it drop. We're up about 1,000 feet, and I look up, it's like, what the heck? And a Lear comes out of the clouds heading back the other direction, going right over us. I could have almost counted the paint specs. That was a little scary.
That'd be real darn scary. I worked at Learjet in 1966 for about 2 or 3 months, bucking rivets on a Model 24.
That worked. Yeah, and that same check ride, I was on my last landing. You got to make a landing each direction. And he said, let me land this one. I'm just going to have to give you another time to get your check ride done. It was a cell opened up, and it was raining like heck. Vortex off the end of the runway. I mean, it was crosswind like crazy. I think when he landed it, we landed at max or plus max, the crosswind rating of that that 172. It was gusting at, I don't know, about 40, 50.
That's way too much for a 172. Yeah, they can land down here down to 250 feet. I know that my daughter's neighbor has IFR rating, and I've landed at 250 feet down here before in a rainstorm, and it was really dicey. It was a thunderstorm. And we was in a Delta plane, but I wasn't too comfortable with it. But at any rate, you know, when you pass that close to that Lear, wake turbulence can be a big factor for a plane that size. It's NZTR.
Righty. Yeah. I like reading about planes. I like watching planes. I like watching videos of planes. I like flying in planes. If I can afford it, I'd like to fly a plane. But I haven't actually played with the idea of flying a, getting into flying the gliders, but I weigh too much. And that seems to be a hard thing to lose is weight when you're in your 60s.
How are you, Mike? I'm 77.
62.
And you can still pass the test. And one of the biggest, the things that get expensive are like insurance and insurance liability and insurance per passenger and insurance on the plane itself. Whenever, I imagine the 172, I just guess it's probably $350,000 now for a new one.
If you're gonna go with a Sirius and an all glass, latest up to date stuff, you're looking at a cool $500-$600.
Long ago, $800. But I know they can go over $1 million if you get the parachute and all the avionics that you can put in on them. They're not cheap by any means, and if you use that parachute. Which the old timers all say you're a chicken if you have that parachute. But if you do use it, it's going to land on its nose, and that's not really very good on airplanes.
I didn't witness that. I witnessed a Baron six passenger coming in a small airport in Texas that I was at getting a check ride again, and the winds were just crazy. And I made a landing, and I had a buddy in the back. He was going to get checked, right? I made a landing, and it was tough, and the instructor kept me from going into the ditch because it was a single runway that you had to back taxi on. No taxiway. Ditches on either side. I almost lost it. He saved my booty when I landed. Got a crosswind out behind a building. It almost took me off the runway. And I said, that's it. I don't want to do anymore, so I just taxied it back in. And then the very next plane come in was that Baron with a family in it. The guy had the same thing happen, but he ended up...
You ended up where? Yeah.
Sorry, I got the timeout timer on this thing if I key down too long. He had his family on board. He landed, and then he hit that crosswind after clearing that hangar. And he ended up in the ditch, nose down, prop strike, all the things that you don't want.
I dock here where they get off of 29 on to, 85, I guess. So I hope you can get me. Yeah, that Baron's a twin, isn't it?
Maybe it wasn't the Baron. Not the Piper Baron, they had a single version. Anyway, it was a big single version, 8-seater.
My dad and I went together, and when my nephew, who flies 787s now, he's a captain on them, flies international. Got two more years to go. I think at 62 they make him retire. And he flies out of Dallas to places in the South Pacific, Singapore, and Hong Kong, and South Korea, and all that. We went together, and my brother was still in the service, and he had a chance to come home to Kansas. And Steve was learning to fly at the Beach Aircraft Company's club because his mother worked there. And he got a Beechcraft. It wasn't a VTOL, it was a newer one. It was an A100, and I think it was 300 and some thousand at the time. Glass cockpit, the whole nine yards. He could get that for $34 an hour. And he flew me over to St. Louis to pick up my brother and bring him on home to our local airport. So that was kind of cool. But he was VFR only, and we did have a ceiling at, I think about 5,000 feet, so we flew pretty low all the way over there, but That took guts going to a big airport like that, and as young as he was.
My brother Bruce got his pilot's license before he had his driver's license.
He broke up a little.
My brother Bruce, he's 11 years older than me. He had his, he got his pilot's license before he had his license to drive.
That is really neat. Well, I always dreamed of such a thing, but it was always out of my reach. Back when I was a kid, they'd have penny a pound day out at the airport at Atkinson Municipal Airport in Pittsburgh, Kansas. And you could fly for a penny a pound, which I wasn't much over 100 pounds, I don't guess. But always went out there for that. And then I flew in the paragliders several times. They were real popular back then. They built them down, was that at Miami? Or Baxter Springs, Kansas. And then they started making everybody get a sport pilot license, which is, you might as well go ahead and get your general aviation license. The requirements were so stringent. And so that hobby went away real quick because, for the most part, none of them guys had licenses.
As in anything, that you have the license, that's just a reason for them to blame you if anything goes wrong. N6 CLX variety. That's why I quit it. It just got to be a bear. I couldn't even tell you what the current regs are anymore. It's all changed.
Yeah, a friend of mine that I flew with several times, he built three airplanes. The first one with the Volkswagen engine. And then he bought a Bella Lanka, I think they called it. He liked flying with a stick. I'd say in his 50s or 60s when I flew with him. But he was in probably 60s because he was in the Battle of the Bulge and drove a tank. But a really nice guy. And he took me up to take pictures of his home from the air. Because I did some professional photography, only I wasn't really licensed as a professional. I just had 2 years of schooling in it. But I really enjoyed that. And the last one he built was an Army duplicate. All the things for the foundry. You know, if you made a gear, they'd have to make a gear out of mahogany, so they'd have it to make the sand casting in that for cast iron. So the woodwork in it was just astounding. But he was sitting there one day with the guys out at the airport, and these fellas, two of them, had constructed this ultralight. And you what? Okay. I'll have to change lanes then, Bernice. She wants to go straight to Costco's. I thought she wanted to go to Sam's. So at any rate, they had built this ultralight, and I don't know if they had it inspected or not, or if it was a requirement. And they, one of them took off and was going over the field at a few hundred feet above the field, and a bolt come loose on it, and it actually... Whatever it was, the throttle accelerated, and he went nose down and killed him right there at the airport on the first flight.
Dang shame, but at least he went out doing something he loved, right? That's what happened. Yeah, a guy killed himself and a friend of his in a plane at an airport north where I learned to fly. So I was up there one day and talking to the guy over the FBO. Whatever happened to that plane, he showed me all the parts of it. Damn shame, he had a gas turbine prop, scale, what was it, like a two-thirds scale Mustang kit, flew it in from Florida and then got behind the power curve and took it right to the ground.
Yes, not a good situation. Well, if I had the money and I was younger, the first thing I'd want would be a pressurized cab, you know, on the plane cockpit, and a turboprop at that. And I was trying to think of that one. There's one down at the airport. It's not as serious. Oh, gosh, but it's a turboprop. Boy, is that a beautiful thing. Really a strange-looking animal, but a beautiful thing. Oh, some old boy made a U-turn here on Blackstock Road. He lives dangerously. Well, we're getting ready, Mike, to go into Costco's, and it's been really a pleasure talking to you. You have a safe drive the rest of the way home, but I need to pay attention. And I'm too poor to pay attention, to be honest with you, but have a good day. N6CLX, N0TR73.
Hey, Tom, N0TR N6CLX. You have a good day, and yeah, pay attention on Blackstock. That place is crazy. Talk to you again. N6CLX, it was a real pleasure, and I'm clear.